We're now going to have our New Testament reading. Sophie's going to come and read from Luke chapter 4, from verse 14, page 1031.
I'm going to introduce that reading first, and then Sophie will read for us. But it'd be good if you could turn that up. It's on page 1031. So, I wanted to think this morning, is belief in God make believe? Do Christians believe in Jesus because it simply makes them feel better? Have people just made him up because we can't cope with the challenges of life? We're going to be looking at the book of Luke. At the very beginning, Luke says he's writing about the fulfillment, the promises of God coming true, God bringing about his plan from the Old Testament. And as we read about Jesus, some of the things he does and some of the things that happen don't make us comfortable, don't make sense. They surprise us and challenge us. They're not what we would make up. We're going to cover a lot of the Bible this morning, so we'll go fast. We won't have time for all the details. I hope those of us in growth group this week will look at the details. We can read the Bible with concentration on one episode and think about that episode. You might have to think about one episode over a whole week in your personal thinking as a Christian. But we can also read longer sections, several episodes at once. That helps us notice repeats or themes or links that we miss if we've only read short episodes. You might read the Bible for 10 minutes on the bus on the way to work and think about that episode for another 5 minutes. What we're doing today, though, would probably require you on a day off to spend half an hour looking and thinking at a passage of the Bible. We're going to look at a large section, not just the bit we've got on the board. And for each, or for many of the episodes, we're going to answer three questions. Could we have the next slide, please? Here we go. Where is Jesus? What is Jesus doing? And how are people responding to Jesus? How do they respond? To help us focus, I asked Karen to read this. Are you able to do this? Yeah, she is prepared. Sophie was going to stand in. Someone needed help at short notice, so Karen has been helping them. You are going to be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's going to start by reading verses 4 to 14. There's the page number again. Let me pray for us and pray for Karen as she reads. 14 to 44. There's lots of fours. Let's pray. Almighty God, help us, please, to not simply accept the parts of Jesus that we find convenient and comfortable, but to be people who listen to him and pay attention truly to what you say in your word. Help Karen now as she reads, and us as we listen to follow carefully, and for us to think together well, and to react and respond properly to what we're learning of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, Surely you will quote this proverb to me, "Physician, heal yourself." And you will tell me, "Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." "Truly, I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of illnesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because this is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Thank you. Come sit down.
Yeah.
So we've got our three questions. Has that died? Has that just died? Firstly, so the questions are, where is Jesus? What is he doing? And how do people react? So in verse 16, where is Jesus? Chapter 4, verse 16. Where is he? Yeah, he's in Nazareth. And where is he in Nazareth? In the synagogue. The synagogue is the meeting place for the Jewish people. Thank you, Mark and Aniola, finding our place. This is fast forward through. Here we go. Thank you. He's in the synagogue. What's he doing? He's teaching. And at the start of his public work, he gives us a public statement of his purpose. It's a bit like a press conference announcing a big road building. Here are the plans. Here are the benefits. And he quotes Isaiah, one of God's Old Testament messengers, because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plans. He's making God's promises come true. And notice the anointing of Jesus. He quotes the words that say, "The Lord's anointed me." His commissioning of him is mainly about speaking, about declaring, about proclaiming. So look at that in verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim," that's a speaking verb, "freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is going to be declaring, speaking, proclaiming. How do people respond? They're amazed, but then the mood changes. Jesus uses a proverb in verse 23. They've heard Jesus has done astonishing things. Verse 23, Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" So you say to a doctor, you know, it's all very well being able to make other people better, but can he heal themselves? Jesus has done astonishing things in other towns. Can he do them here? And the attitude they're showing here is they're amazed by his words, but they're not admiring him or accepting his words. You know, we know this bloke. He grew up here. Where does he get these words from? Is how they're talking about him. People are always more ready to see greatness in strangers than in people they know well. And that's what's happening here. So Jesus reminds them of two stories from the Old Testament when God's messengers cared for foreigners or strangers. We didn't have time to read them both. Chris read the first one. Elijah went to a widow in a place called Zarephath. And then there's another account of Elisha healing a man called Naaman. But the people, when they hear that, they're furious. And they seek to kill him. Next place that Jesus is in, he goes on to Capernaum, verse 31. And where is he now in Capernaum? In the synagogue. And what's he doing in the synagogue? Again, he's teaching, but he also drives out an evil spirit. And how do the people respond? They're amazed. Verse 36, all the people were amazed. So here we go. Next section, in the synagogue again, this time in Capernaum, teaching. Exorcism is a word for driving out a demon, and the people are amazed. Then he goes to Simon's house, and many people bring the sick, and the demon possessed him that evening, and he heals them. But then in the morning, where does Jesus go? He goes off somewhere. Well, in the morning, where does Jesus go to? Verse 42. Yes, a solitary place. And what does he do there? He's praying. And then the people come out after him. And if you turn over the page, it says at the top of the next page, they try to keep him from leaving them. They want to keep him. They want him to stay with them and to keep bringing them goodness. But that's not his purpose. You see there at the end of that chapter, verse 43, but he said, Jesus said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." He has been sent by the Father. And the Father sent him to proclaim, to speak, to teach, to tell about the kingdom of God. That's when God's good comes into people's lives. And this town, they're trying to hold him back. So here's the third section. He goes off to a solitary place. He's praying, seeking the will of the Father. But the people there are wanting to hold him back. Karen's going to read the next 16 verses, chapter 5, 1 to 16.
One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Thank you. So where is Jesus now in the first of these sections? Verse 1. Yeah, he's by a big lake, Lake of Gennesaret. And what's he doing there? He's teaching. Verse 1 says, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the Word of God. The Word of God's not coming out of the sky. The Word of God is coming from Jesus. He is teaching them. And then he says, "Go out into deep water to the fishermen, throw out the net." Now, these expert fishermen have fished all night, the best time for fishing. What does this carpenter know? But he does know. And Jesus creates an extraordinary sign that is a sign to show his power for good. And then he appoints Peter and the others. Their lives are changed. Now they will serve Jesus' work. They will invite people into the kingdom of God when God's good rule comes into lives. And how do Peter and the others respond? What do they do, Peter and the others? Yeah, they leave everything and follow him. Verse 11, so they pulled up their boats on the shore. They left everything and followed him. So it's at the lake. Jesus is teaching all the people. He's commissioning, that's appointing, the fishermen to be his workers in his work, and they obey. They listen, so the crowd are listening, and then the fishermen follow him. Next section, where is Jesus? It's a bit vague. Verse 12. Aaron, where is he? Yeah. Just says, it simply says in one of the towns. Yeah. And what does he do there? What happens in that next episode? Someone else bet. Give someone else a chance. What does he do? Yeah, he heals someone with leprosy. He cleans away this disease. If you know from the Old Testament, getting rid of leprosy is more than just getting rid of a sickness. It brings this man back into the community. It allows him to be in the people of God. Because leprosy is a disease that's like a living death. Your body is falling apart. And the people of God are not in death. God's kingdom, God's rule brings life. So this man is taken from being amongst those who are dead, amongst the dying, and brought back to life, which is why Jesus tells him, go and get it officially recognized. Go and have the priest certify it, and then you'll be welcome back amongst God's people. And then Jesus goes into lonely places again. Sorry, I've gone on there. Goes into lonely places again so he can pray. Karen, if you could read 17 to 39.
One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we've seen remarkable things today. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. He told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better.
So back at the beginning of that section, verse 17, where is Jesus? I have to read on a couple of verses. Where is he? He's in a house. Yeah, doesn't say whose house, doesn't say which town. He's not in a synagogue, he's not by the lake. We know he's in a house because that's then where the roof gets knocked through. What's he doing? Teaching again. And then he's answering critics. There's a new group of people who suddenly appear in the story in verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching and Pharisees and teachers of the law were there. That's not the law of the land, it's the religious law. So these are the religious leaders there. The Pharisees is a group of very religious people. And they have this criticism of Jesus, because Jesus has said, your sins are forgiven. And they know from the Bible that only God can forgive sins. Earlier, Steve had on the board the words of David, who knew that his sin was against God and against God alone. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus is now saying, I forgive you. And he says, I'll show you how I have the power to forgive you. What did he do to prove he has the power to forgive the man? What does he do that proves his power to forgive? Yeah, he heals him. That's right, Paul. He makes his legs better. So that's a sign that shows he can forgive the sins. Verse 24, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. But how have the religious leaders been responding in verse 21? They're criticizing him, muttering to themselves. He's blaspheming. How do the people respond in verse 24? Sorry, Chris? They're amazed again. So here we've got, he's at the house. Two things Jesus is doing. He's teaching, but then he's answering his critics. And then in the response section, those who are being taught are listening. But of course, there's those who are criticizing. Where is Jesus in the next section? Where does he go to next? Verse 27. Yeah, the tax collector's booth. There's some sort of structure that Levi is at where he takes tax from people. And then he goes on to Levi's home. What does he do to Levi initially? What's he doing when he first meets Levi? He's not driving out a demon. He's not teaching him. What is he saying to Levi? Yeah, he's instructing him to follow him. Yeah. Verse 27, after this, Jesus went out, saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And what does Levi do? Follows him. Like the fisherman, he leaves everything and follows him, and then he goes on to celebrate Jesus. But there's the next section on the bottom line above me. Levi's booth is where he's at. He commissions Levi, or calls him, leave this way of life, follow me, and Levi leaves all. And then at the party where he's celebrating Jesus, again the religious leaders are there. They respond differently. They're criticizing again. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belong to their sect complained. So the Pharisee sect has got law teachers. They complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? They're complaining and criticizing. We're going to come back to this one episode next week and look in more detail. Just want to see that feature. So at the party, they're criticizing again. So what's happening at Levi's house? Jesus is celebrating. He's answering his critics. And what are people doing around him? People are criticizing him. The next section has got one of those parts of the Bible that we wouldn't make up because it's confusing. What does Jesus mean by these two pictures? There's a picture he uses of a torn garment and a new bit on and putting wine into wineskin. Those are confusing to us. We wouldn't have made those up. Basically, Jesus' point, though, is at a wedding, the guests don't fast. At a wedding, the people at the wedding don't fast. So that's why Jesus and his disciples are not fasting, because he's with them. And that's a happy thing. But the religious leaders are criticizing him for that. This section actually carries on to chapter 6, verse 11. I won't get Karen to read those. Just want to read three verses, though. Chapter 6, verse 2. So some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath? Again, they're criticizing him. They do the same in chapter 6, verse 7. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They're looking for a reason. They're trying to trap him. They're trying to catch him out. And then chapter 6, verse 11. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. And we know from what's happened so far, that's not saying how they might celebrate him or run a party like Levi did. That's how they might oppose him and stop him. So we've gone through a big chunk of the Bible. You know, that's what you might do on a day off, not your commute read on the bus when you've only got 10 minutes. You've got half an hour. You've read through, and we've seen some of the patterns, some of the repeats, some of the themes. Jesus is fulfilling God's plan. Just one thing that particularly stood out twice, he was found praying. But at the very beginning, when he set out the work he was going to do, he read from the Old Testament and says, this has now come true today because I am here to speak. God has sent me to speak. Jesus is fulfilling God's plan. He does it even when people oppose him and criticizes him. He brings good to people, teaching God's way, freeing them from demons, restoring them, like the leper, back into society. God's fulfillment, God's kingdom, is showing up what's wrong with the Old Testament religion. We who admire Jesus, we who believe in him, we admire him and we love him. And this man we're reading about here is on our side. I am his person. You are his person if you are a believer in Jesus. What a good leader to belong to. We should be glad. Jesus is the answer to God's promises. Then a major theme here is that Jesus is a teacher. God the Father commissions Jesus, anoints him to go and proclaim. That means to speak, to teach. He teaches in the synagogue. He teaches by the lake. He teaches in the house. He explains things to his critics. He uses signs, not just to show off his power, but his signs demonstrate his teaching. The signs demonstrate, he is going to enable the fishermen to fish for men. He shows he has the power to forgive sins. So Jesus is fulfilling God's purpose. Jesus is a teacher. And we who believe in him should be those who listen to him. Let's take care not endlessly to listen and just to try and add more and more information, but to dwell on what Jesus says and to put it into practice. Please do consider coming to the extra teaching, looking specifically at Jesus' stories. There's the invite. It's available at the back in the lobby. Tales of the Unexpected. Jesus' parables, they seem very ordinary. A story about a torn garment, a story about wine and wineskins, but they actually contain extraordinary understanding for us. Listen to Jesus' teaching. Take it to heart. Put it into practice. Remind each other of it. Pass it on to your children. Then we've got responding to Jesus. So Jesus, the fulfillment, Jesus, the teacher, and then the different responding to Jesus. People are amazed, but actually we then find out they're only amazed at his words being quite impressive. They don't appreciate him. They don't admire him. They then try and kill him. The religious leaders, they argue against him and oppose him. They want to shut him down. And why is this response happening? Is it that people don't know enough information about Jesus? No, he's their teaching. Is it that they need a miracle so that they are then convinced? No, he's done miracles. Where's the problem? Is the problem with Jesus' lack of teaching? Is it that he's not strong enough for miracles? No, the problem's in us. The problem is our hearts. That's why we are frequently praying here for God to change our hearts. When people laugh at Christians or despise us, we quickly wobble, don't we, and wonder, oh, is it really true? How can it be true when these people say it's nonsense, when they're attacking me? And we get confused by Jesus' teaching. But rejection by others and confusion about what Jesus is saying, that's not new. And it doesn't mean there's a problem with Jesus. The problem with us is with us, and we need his help. So Peter knows he's engaging with the living God. Do you see the two sections that have just turned green there? I'll go back. There we go. Leaving all. Peter and the others, and then Levi. They leave everything and follow him. Levi, the tax collector, leaves everything, follows Jesus, and celebrates. Now, we can't follow Jesus because he's not here. He's not coming to Dagenham this afternoon so that we can leave Dagenham and go after Jesus. But God's good kingdom, his good rule, changes us. If we are believers in this Jesus, we will be different from what we were, and we will be different from people around us. How we use our money, how we react to people who oppose us, and most of all, how we think of Jesus. Well, do let me know how you've found a very different sort of sermon, rushing through a bigger part of the Bible. Do talk to each other about questions you might still have or things that have come out from that part of the Bible. I'm going to lead us in praying now. Almighty Father, we praise you for Jesus, the answer to your promises, the King who brings your good kingdom. Lord Jesus, we admire you and we love you for your care for others, for your persistence when people opposed you, for your strong authority, and for your prayerfulness to God. Lord Jesus, we will listen to your teaching. Help us to listen, and as wise people to put it into practice. Lord Jesus, we will not give up when others mock you and mock us for trusting you. Help us not to give up. Amen.